Thank you, choir, and thank you, George and Francis, for the offertory music. As children go to children's church, I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians 4, 25 through 5, 2. Waiting for pages to stop rattling so that I know folks are there. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. As God in Christ has forgiven you, therefore be imitators of God, as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the Elton John song, some years back, and off the Caribou album, for you who are into those kinds of things, there is a song, "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me." And in that song, among things, he sings, "Don't let the sun go down on me. Although I've searched myself, it's always someone else I see. I just allowed a fragment of your life to wander free, but losing everything is like the sun going down on me." Have you ever felt in your life that you've allowed fragments to wander away? To wander about, perhaps, searching and not really knowing at times who you are or where you are or what to do? How many times do we find ourselves allowing those fragments to wander into things that are not really who we are as God's children? As imitators of God and brothers and sisters together in Jesus the Christ. As a result, we find that we have lost something of ourselves in the process. I do resemble that remark sometimes. And I'm probably not the only one. Occasionally, we're even tempted to reject truth and allow anger and discord to gain control of our lives. And when this happens, the sad thing is that we cannot light the darkness that surrounds us. By the way, another line from the song speaks to that. I can't light no more of the darkness. And sometimes we get to that point within our lives. We can't light the darkness that surrounds us because we've lost control of what we once had and have let the sun go down on fragments of our lives, sometimes fragments of hostility, sometimes even fragments of loving care that we've allowed to wander away. I would submit to you that the writer of Ephesians had similar experiences in losing control. If indeed the writer is Paul, you know that he had trouble sometimes in losing control. All you have to do is read some of his letters to see how that happens. And the writer of Ephesians had already witnessed that in others on many occasions, which caused him a good bit of consternation. Consternation both for himself and for those others whom he had tutored in the faith. In this passage today, the writer is trying to offer us, I think, some practical, ethical exhortation. I say that in part because, actually, if you look at the letters of Paul, the section that this is found in is something called paronesis, which is moral and ethical exhortation or pleading, typical of those letters. And he knows what the old nature can do and how easy it is to slip back into that older nature and lifestyle, where our lives have been so fragmented before. It's real easy. I know that I have, just as an aside, known couples before who would talk about getting married, and one of them would say, "Well, I know that my fiancé is not a Christian, and I know that they do a lot of things that they shouldn't, but once we get married, I can change all of that." And some of you are smiling knowingly, because more often than not, it is the person that makes that statement that changes, not the other way around. Yet, this writer here is also convinced that the new nature of Christians can overcome the old if we truly adhere to the principles we are called to imitate. But imitation is not all we're called to do. We're called to start by imitating, but we are also called to eventually incorporate those into who we are, not just simply act them out. This new nature, the likeness of God in Jesus the Christ, can take us from the darkness into new life and new righteousness, being made right with God. Instead of sundown and darkness, there is sunrise, S-O-N-R-I-S-E. That effects a transformation. A transformation that shows in our conduct, or what we often call the fruits of the Christian life or the Christian spirit. I think to dramatically show the effect of that sunrise in Christ, the writer speaks first of how the old nature hinders true fellowship with God and others, and follows each one with virtues. Virtues that foster fellowship in this new life together. Things that disrupt unity are falsehood, anger, stealing, foul speech, which includes malicious slander and gossip. All of these offend others, but more than that, they break the fellowship that God intends for us to have, thereby breaking the fellowship that we have with God. Sometimes that fellowship is broken in obvious ways, and sometimes in hidden ways. Falsehood here is sometimes translated as lying. But if we think of it only as spoken lies, we miss the whole point of Paul's writing here. How many times is true fellowship hindered because we live behind a facade, a front? I guess music is kind of a theme in this one. I'm reminded in Phantom of the Opera of the song Masquerade, painted faces on parade, masquerade. How many times do we put on the facade and we participate in the masquerade? Yet when we do that, it breaks the bond of fellowship. The bond of fellowship for which Christ died and rose for you and me. Putting away falsehood and speaking the truth with neighbors means to open up ourselves to each other. And sometimes that makes us uncomfortable. It involves taking off the masks, tearing the clothes we hide behind in order to reveal our inner self, something that is more vulnerable than we want it to be, oftentimes. Yet there is a reason we are called to do this. We are called to relate with God and others in mutual respect and mutual care. Care that will allow true insight into who we are without fear, because we all reveal our inner selves, not just a few. This motive, when it is fresh within our hearts, allows us to be a part of each other's lives through Christ, so that we might live together in Him and through Him and with each other, as we are called to do as children of God. When this happens, we are instructed here in this passage not to let the sun go down on our anger and our deceptions. Some attempt to justify their anger as long as they don't carry it over from day to day, to go ahead and be angry now and allow it to get out but not simmer, but I'll hold it all day long. But that would allow for the devil, or perhaps ourselves, to cook our anger to the point of boiling, which we all know is a dangerous thing. Rather, the writer indicates we are to get rid in our hearts of any anger as quickly as we can. It's not to sit around even for a whole day, but to be taken out, removed completely, and sent away. There's an ancient saying that goes, "Make the day of your anger be the day of your reconciliation with the one for whom you feel the anger." Make the day of your anger be the day of your reconciliation. We all experience anger and discomfort, but forgiveness and mutual respect assuage anger and allow us to remain in fellowship. But in fellowship with whom? Here we find an interesting statement, I think, about changed lives. The church did not consist of only the respectably religious. It didn't. And it doesn't today. Jesus said that He came for the ill, not the well. As the church was made up of some who were considered less than desirable by society and by many within Judaism, there are instructions for honest labor that reflects changed lives. We are all to live disciplined lives, not for our own benefit, but for the graciousness that we share with others. In fact, all that we do or say is meant to build up. We use the big word edification, or to edify. That is to build up and bring grace. When we live falsely, allow anger to seethe, or sponge off others as some were doing in the church then, we're guilty of causing God's Spirit to grieve. Now, some people think when they're talking about sponging off others, you're talking about somebody that doesn't work. Well, yes and no. He's not just talking, though oftentimes this is how it's interpreted, He's not just talking here about those folks that didn't have a job or that quit their jobs and sat back in what they thought were the latter days, expecting others to take care of them. I think here He is also talking about those who have work to do within the fellowship and don't do it. We need to be busy about our work as God's children, as church. When we do not, we grieve God. sins against our neighbors or sins against God, the God who made them as well as us. And we bring pain to God when we refuse to listen. Refuse to listen to God and refuse to listen to the needs of others. And when we do nothing. Actions speak volumes more than words. As God's children, then, we are called to exhibit the characteristics of the one who is our ultimate parent. Characteristics of kindness, tenderness that stems from the center of our being, forgiveness that is modeled after the forgiveness we experience from God in Christ. The text brings to mind the most dangerous phrase in the Lord's Prayer, which we've mentioned numerous times, but keeps popping up in my head far too often. And forgive us our debts like we have forgiven our debtors. The living of lives in sunrise, S-O-N-R-I-S-E, rather than sundown, is found in the love of a reborn heart. A reborn heart. As God forgives and loves, we are to be imitators in the same way. Forgiving, caring, and loving. That is the natural expectation of the child of any good parent. We hope our children will imitate the good things. The agape that we find coming in Jesus is to be part and parcel of who we are when we imitate God in Christ. And the more we seek to imitate God, the more likely that imitation will manifest itself in changes. Changes that will capture those fragments that have wandered away. Perhaps some that we have forgotten have wandered off. Turning them into moments by which the sun can rise anew within our lives. When Jesus, the Son, changes our nature more completely through our repentance from darkness and our subsequent walk in the dawn of new righteousness, then God's love, God's care, God's righteousness will bring us to a point where we exceed the righteousness that we could ever hope to attain on our own. In fact, Jesus even says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, who seem to be righteous, you will never see the kingdom of God. That's a harsh and hard order. But it is also truth. That relationship that we have with God is to so ingrain and infuse us that we live lives based on grace and based on dispensing grace. Grace that issues forth in willingness. No, I'm going to back off of that word. Not just willingness, but in the activity of giving our lives to God and to others. Giving our lives in loving service. Giving our lives in forgiveness and grace to our neighbor within the truth of God's grace in Christ. If we do any less, it would mean losing everything and having the sun go down on us. But the call that Christ gives and that the author gives us here today is to be imitators of God in love, forgiveness, grace, and in the work of being the people of God. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, so many times we find ourselves guilty of wandering away. Sometimes feeling like if we just keep this area or that area close, it doesn't matter what else goes on. Our lives become fragmented. Sometimes due to pressures around us in the world. Sometimes due to our lack of sensitivity to your leading and to your ways. Unfortunately, we are not immune even after we become Christian. But we pray that you will help us to live more in the sunrise of your love and grace, so that others may know not our righteousness, but your righteousness within us, and they too can cease wandering. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn of decision before the Lord's Supper. Hymn number 270. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. As we sing, our invitation is very simple. For any who would not have ever made a decision before for Christ, but make one publicly today, we welcome you. For any who would recommit themselves to God in Christ, or for those who might be part of our fellowship, as we sing 270, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, may we not only ask God's forgiveness, but may we too live in the sunshine of God's love. Hymn number 270.